share price over a period of several years, you can easily see whether the company's dividend is currently higher or lower than its historical average. You can use the website dividend.com to chart a company's dividend yield over time by entering in the name of any publicly traded company in their search box. On the dividend.com's information page for the company you are searching for, scroll down to the section titled Dividend Yield and Stock Price History and click on the yield link in the chart legend to view a chart of the company's dividend yield over time. Using dividend discount model to develop a fair value estimate. Dividend discount models, DDMs, attempt to identify a fair price for a stock based on the expected future dividends that shareholders will receive. DDMs generally assume that the only real value that stocks provide to shareholders is the dividend stream that the companies produce. The theory is that capital gains and volatility in share price is the result of investors adjusting their expectations for a company's future stream of dividend income. DDMs attempt to project the value of all future dividends and then discount them to a net present value that identifies a fair value for the company's current share price. By using a DDM calculation, you can identify whether or not a company is currently trading above or below its intrinsic value. Many investors use this simplified dividend discount model. Expected share price equals annual dividend divided by cost of equity minus dividend growth rate. This equation involves taking the company's annual dividend and dividing it by the cost of the company's equity minus the company's expected long-term growth rate. For example, Realty Income Corp., O, currently pays an annual dividend of $2.42 per year. If we use 10% as our cost of equity and expect Realty Income Corp.'s dividend to grow by 6% per year over the long term, the DDM from before would suggest a fair price for the stock would be $60.50, which is $2.42 divided by 0.10 minus 0.06. This simplified form of a dividend discount model can be helpful in identifying a fair price to pay for a stock, but we should be cautious about how much attention we pay to DDM calculations. The previous equation assumes that the company's dividend growth rate will never change and that the company's cost of equity will also never change. We may also not have a good idea of what the company's cost of capital actually is and what the company's long-term average annual dividend growth rate will be. Because this equation only uses three inputs, it is very easy to calculate, but the results of the equation are very sensitive to the numbers you use. For example, changing Realty Income Corp's long-term dividend growth rate to 7% would raise its fair value to $80.67, 33% higher than the fair value calculated using a 6% long-term growth rate. Economic moats. In medieval times, a moat was a body of water that surrounded a castle in order to keep out potential invaders. In the modern era, an economic moat describes certain advantages that some companies have that allow them to stay ahead of the competition. The larger the moat a company has, the more likely that it will continue to be a profitable and viable business in the years to come. There are several types of competitive advantages that can create an economic moat for a company. Barriers to entry. Some industries have high financial or regulatory barriers to entry that would make it extremely difficult for new competitors to enter the market. For example, it would be almost impossible to create a new railroad network in the United States because of the thousands of tracts of land that would need to be bought from private property owners. The four major players in the space, Union Pacific, BNSF, CSX, and Norfolk Southern, have huge economic moats simply because there are unlikely to be any new rail lines in the United States. In order to unseat the four major railways, an entirely new transportation method that is cost competitive with rail would need to be invented. Brand name. Consumers are naturally more likely to buy products and services from a brand that they are already familiar with than one that they have never heard of. Many companies have tried to make soft drinks that taste better than Coca-Cola, but none has been able to unseat Coca-Cola as the world's dominant soft drink producer because the Coca-Cola brand is so ingrained in the minds of consumers. Having a strong brand name also allows Coca-Cola to maintain pricing power over its competitors. You can buy a can of generic cola for 25 cents in a grocery store, but you are 2 to 3 times more likely to get the brand of soft drink that you are familiar with and already know you enjoy. Economies of scale. Companies that produce, transport, and sell goods at larger scale than their competitors can often benefit from reduced costs that their competitor can't match. Walmart, WMT, is the perfect example of a company that benefits from having economies of scale. Because they have more than 4,000 stores in the United States and sell nearly $500 billion per year in annual revenue, they can purchase goods from suppliers more cheaply than their smaller competitors can. This allows them to sell goods at lower prices while earning higher profit margins than smaller competitors do. High switching costs. If it takes a significant amount of time, money, or effort for a customer to switch from one company or another, customers are much less likely to move their business elsewhere. High switching costs insulate an existing company from upstart competitors because it will be difficult for the new company to steal the existing company's customers. For example, people rarely switch banks because it takes a lot of work to set up new accounts, update their direct deposit records, change payment methods for recurring subscriptions, and move their money over. Even if you're unhappy with your current bank, it's just easier to stay where you are because of the amount of work involved with switching to another bank. Other intangible assets. Some companies benefit from patents and trademarks that prevent companies from making similar or identical products. For example, prescription drug companies that patent a new medicine will receive the right to be the exclusive seller of that medicine for 17 years from the date of the patent. Drug patents allow prescription drug companies to set whatever price they choose for a new drug without fear of being undercut by another competitor for nearly 2 decades. Likewise, trademarks that make it into our everyday vernacular also make it difficult for other companies to compete. For example, no one can make a facial tissue called Kleenex besides Kimberly-Clark, and no one can create cotton swabs called Q-tips besides Unilever. Economic moats can sometimes be difficult to quantify or assign an economic value to, but having any of these competitive advantages is preferable to not having them at all. Morningstar has attempted to create a system that ranks a public company's economic moat as wide, strong, narrow, weak, or non-existent. I generally take Morningstar's economic moat ratings with a grain of salt, but they can be a helpful indicator of whether or not a company has any meaningful competitive advantages. Dividend analysis example, Verizon Wireless. In this chapter, we have looked at a number of quantitative and qualitative metrics that we can use to determine whether or not any given dividend stock is attractive. We will now take these newly acquired analytical skills and use them to evaluate a couple of publicly traded companies. Let's start with Verizon, VZ. The company currently pays a dividend yield of 4.27%, which is well within the 3.5% to 6.5% range that I target. The company has raised its dividend for 9 years in a row, which is not quite the 10-year track record that I look for, but is close enough for all intents and purposes. The company has only raised its dividend by an average of 3.2% per year over the last 3 years, which does not meet the 5% to 10% annual dividend growth guideline I target. The company has a healthy payout ratio of about 64%, which is under the 75% maximum payout ratio that I target. Verizon has a relatively high debt-to-equity ratio of 5.894, which is much higher than the debt-to-equity ratios of competitors AT&T and T-Mobile. The company has averaged net margins of 7.03% over the last 5 years, which is above the 5% minimum that I require. Verizon has a very high average return on equity of 45.9%, which is largely the result of the amount of debt the company carries. As I write this chapter, the stock is trading at $52.88, and it is trading slightly above its Morningstar fair value estimate of $50. Verizon, like most companies you will analyze, won't meet 100% of the criteria that we outline in this chapter, but it comes pretty close. My two big concerns about Verizon are its relatively low dividend growth rate of 3.2% and the amount of debt the company carries relative to its competitors. These aren't deal breakers given Verizon's already competitive dividend yield, and its ability to manage its debt, but I probably wouldn't call it a top pick either. Dividend analysis example, Realty Income Corp. Another favorite stock among dividend investors is Realty Income Corp. Oh. The company currently pays out an annual dividend of $2.42, which works out to a yield of 3.65% based on a share price of $66.27. The company has raised its dividend every year for the last 20 years and has a dividend payout ratio of 85%, which is to be expected because the company is a real estate investment trust. It has raised its dividend by an average of 8.6% per year over the last 3 years, which is an extremely attractive dividend growth rate. Realty Income Corp. has a very healthy debt-to-equity ratio of 0.73 to 1 and very healthy net margins of 27.97%. The company has an average return on equity of 6.62%, which is acceptable but lower than some of its competitors. Overall, Realty Income Corp's dividend yield and its track record of paying steadily growing, sustainable dividends make it very attractive to dividend investors. The only major downside for the company is that so many investors have identified it as a solid company that its price has risen dramatically over the last year. It's trading near the top of its 52-week range, and it currently has a P/E ratio of more than 60. It is also trading at 130% of its Morningstar fair value estimate. I personally own shares of Realty Income Corp., but probably wouldn't add on to my position until the stock price recedes much closer to its Morningstar fair value estimate. Dividend analysis example, Spectra Energy Partners. Spectra Energy Partners, SEP, is a major limited partnership, MLP, that I personally own shares of. SEP operates liquid natural gas pipelines in the northeastern and southeastern United States. The partnership currently pays a very healthy dividend yield of 5.85% and has raised its dividend by an average of 8% over the last 3 years. SEP has a dividend payout ratio of 82%, which is not unusual for an energy MLP. The partnership has raised its dividend for 9 consecutive years in a row, which is not quite the track record I desire, but the SEP's current management appears to be strongly committed to its dividend. The company's earnings have been growing at a healthy clip despite the recent dip in energy prices. SEP's debt-to-equity ratio averages about 1.7, which is very reasonable given that SEP operates in an infrastructure-heavy industry. The partnership currently has an attractive net margin of 46.44% and a return on equity of about 11%. Spectra Energy Partners is an example of a company that I currently find very attractive. It's only trading at 91% of its Morningstar fair value estimate, and it has an extremely healthy dividend yield of 5.85%. It has been steadily raising its dividend every year, and its other financial metrics are generally in line with where they should be. A note about these examples. Please note that the numbers used in these three example analyses were based on a single snapshot in time when I wrote this chapter in September 2016. The numbers and future prospects for each of these companies have almost certainly changed since I wrote the book. If you are considering buying or selling any of these stocks, please do your own independent analysis of each of the stocks based on their current financials before making a trade. My personal view of any of these companies may have changed since I wrote this chapter in September 2016. By reading through these three examples, I hope you will begin to use the qualitative and quantitative metrics outlined in this chapter as general evaluation guidelines when considering trading dividend stocks. There probably won't be many companies that fall exactly into the cookie-cutter ranges that I suggest for each metric, but there are many great dividend stocks that will fall into the suggested ranges I offer for most metrics. The key is to evaluate a company's dividend yield, number of years of dividend growth, average annual dividend growth, average earnings growth, dividend payout ratio, debt-to-equity ratio, net margins, return on equity, and fair value estimate, and determine whether or not each metric is attractive and makes sense for the company given the industry that it is in. Dividend evaluation checklist. Dividend yield, ideally between 3.5% and 6.5%. Number of consecutive years of dividend growth, ideally at least 10. Average annual dividend growth, ideally between 5% and 10%. Average annual earnings growth, ideally in line with or above dividend growth rates. Dividend payout ratio, ideally less than 75% except for REITs and MLPs. Debt to equity ratio, ideally 1-to-1 or less. Net margins, ideally at least 5%. Return on equity, ideally at least 10%. Fair value estimate, ideally trading below Morningstar's fair value estimate. Chapter 4. How to discover great dividend stocks. You now know the qualitative and quantitative metrics that investors should use to measure the quality of a dividend stock. But how do you find attractive dividend stocks that meet the criteria in Chapter 3? In the past, you may have had to start out with a spreadsheet of the 5,000 stocks that are publicly traded in the United States and test each company against the listed criteria. Fortunately, there are now several websites, tools, and lists that cater to dividend investors, which make it very easy to identify great dividend stocks. Dividend lists. Over the last several decades, Standard & Poor's, NASDAQ, and a number of other companies have attempted to create models that identify best-of-breed dividend stocks. Each of these stock lists has specific requirements for companies to be listed, such as having raised their dividend every year for a minimum number of years, having a certain minimum market cap, and meeting specific capital requirements. These lists, such as the S&P Dividend Aristocrats, provide a good starting point for anyone looking to create a portfolio of dividend stocks, because every company included in these lists has consistently raised their dividend for many years in a row. S&P Dividend Aristocrats. The S&P Dividend Aristocrats list is a list of S&P 500 companies that have raised their dividend every year for at least the last 25 years. To be included in the list, companies must have a minimum market cap of $3 billion and an average daily trading volume of $5 million. As of 2016, there are currently 52 companies listed on the S&P Dividend Aristocrats list. You can view a list of the companies currently included on the S&P Dividend Aristocrats list at www.marketbeat.com/dividends/aristocrats. S&P Dow Jones Indices tracks the performance of the S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats through an equal-weighted index of the companies that are currently on the list. This index has outperformed the S&P 500 by a wide margin over the last decade. Over the 10-year period ending in September 2016, the S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats has earned annualized returns of 10.68% per year. This is particularly impressive given that the S&P 500 returned average annualized returns of just 7.5% during the same period. Not only has the S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats Index outperformed the S&P 500 Index, it has done so with lower volatility and lower risk. You can track the ongoing performance of the S&P Dividend Aristocrats Index at us.spindices.com/indices/strategy/SP-500-Dividend-Aristocrats. Why has the S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats Index dramatically outperformed the S&P 500 Index over the last decade? First, companies that pay strong dividends are likely to be generating strong earnings and cash flow that support their above-average dividend payments. Second, a company that pays dividends has to be more selective about how they reinvest earnings into their businesses, because a portion of the company's cash flow is paid out in dividends. Because capital allocation must be more heavily scrutinized in dividend-paying businesses, questionable growth initiatives that are unlikely to create shareholder value do not get funded. Finally, many would argue that the companies listed in the S&P Dividend Aristocrats Index are simply higher quality companies on average. For a company to have the earnings and cash flow to support increasing its dividend for 25 consecutive years, it must have an economic moat or other competitive advantage that allows it to outperform its competitors. NASDAQ Dividend Achievers Index. The NASDAQ Dividend Achievers Index is a list of 274 companies that have raised their dividend each year for at least the last 10 years. To be included in the Dividend Achievers Index, a company must be a member of the NASDAQ U.S. Benchmark Index and meet certain minimum capitalization and liquidity requirements. You can view a list of companies that are currently included in the Dividend Achievers Index at marketbeat.com/dividends/achievers. The companies listed in the Dividend Achievers Index have similar qualities to the companies listed in the S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats Index. They have a track record of steadily raising their dividends, they have earnings and cash flow to support their dividend payments, and they have lower volatility than the broader market. The major difference is that the companies in the Dividend Achievers Index do not have as long of a track record of raising their dividends as those in the Dividend Aristocrats Index do. It may be tempting to focus exclusively on the companies that are in the Dividend Aristocrats Index because of their long track records of dividend growth. But I think this is a mistake. There are many great dividend stocks listed on the Dividend Achievers Index that offer high yields, have strong growth prospects, and are well on their way to being included in the Dividend Aristocrats Index that should be considered for your portfolio as well. David Fish's Dividend Champions List. Like the S&P Dividend Aristocrats Index, the Dividend Champions List is a list of companies that have raised their dividends for 25 consecutive years. The Dividend Champions List is compiled by David Fish of MoneyPapersDirectInvesting.com. The major difference between the two indexes is that the Dividend Champions List does not include the capital and liquidity requirements of the Dividend Aristocrats Index. In addition to the 52 companies on the Dividend Aristocrats Index, the Dividend Champions includes an additional 57 companies that do not meet the capital requirements of the Dividend Aristocrats Index. These additional companies either have market caps of less than $3 billion or trade less than the average of $5 million worth of shares each day. The companies currently listed on the Dividend Champions List can be accessed at dripinvesting.org/tools/tools.asp. David Fish also maintains two other dividend lists. His Dividend Challengers List includes companies that have raised their dividend every year for at least the last 5 years, but not more than 10 years. His Dividend Contenders List includes companies that have raised their dividend every year for at least the last 10 years, but not more than 24 years. David Fish regularly publishes updates about the Dividend Challengers List, the Dividend Contenders List, and the Dividend Champions List on Seeking Alpha at seekingalpha.com/author/David-Fish/articles. Dividend Kings. The Dividend Kings List includes companies that have raised their dividend every year for more than 50 consecutive years. Companies that have a track record of raising their dividend each year for more than 5 decades have competitive advantages that stand the test of time. As of this publishing of this book, there are currently 18 companies listed on the Dividend Kings List, including American States Water, AWR, Cincinnati Financial, CINF, Colgate-Palmolive, CL, Dover Corporation, DOV, Emerson Electric, EMR, Farmers and Merchants Bank Corp, FMCB, Genuine Parts Company, GPC, Hormel Foods, HRL, Johnson & Johnson, JNJ, Coca-Cola, KO, Lancaster Colony, LANC, Lowe's, LOW, 3M, MMM, Nordson, NDSN, Northwest Natural Gas, NWN, Parker Hannifin, PH, Procter & Gamble, PG, and Vectren, BVC. A warning about using dividend lists. The lists of dividend stocks mentioned in this chapter are a good starting point for your research, but you should not buy a stock simply because it is included in an index of dividend stocks. Some of the companies in the Dividend Aristocrats Index and the Dividend Achievers Index actually have lower dividend yields than the S&P 500. None of these lists require a company to have a minimum dividend yield or a minimum amount of dividend growth each year. Some companies will raise their dividend by a token amount each year to maintain their status on these lists while offering low yields. For example, C.R. Bard, BCR, is included on the S&P Dividend Aristocrats Index, despite having a dividend yield of just 0.5%. And Dover Corp is included on the S&P Dividend Aristocrats Index, despite only growing its dividend by an average of 3.3% per year. While dividend lists are a good place to start looking for companies to invest in, make sure that the dividend stocks you buy meet the other recommended criteria outlined in the last chapter. Dividend tools on MarketBeat.com. As someone who personally invests in dividend stocks and operates an investment research website, I am in the unique position of knowing what types of tools dividend investors need and having the ability to actually create them. As a result, we put together a number of research tools specifically geared toward dividend stock investors. We make these tools available to everyone for free through our website. You don't even have to give us your email address to use them. Here are the dividend research tools on our website that you might want to make use of. Dividend Screener. Our Dividend Screener tool allows you to screen companies by a variety of factors that are important to dividend investors, such as dividend yield, payout ratio, average annual dividend growth, number of consecutive years of dividend growth, and a number of other factors. This tool is probably the best shortcut you have available to finding great dividend stocks that meet the criteria outlined in Chapter 3. You can access MarketBeat's Dividend Screener at marketbeat.com/dividends/screener. Dividend Announcements. MarketBeat keeps track of dividend announcements as they are made in real time. You can use our dividend announcements calendars each day to view a complete list of publicly traded companies that have announced new dividends. You can easily scan through the list to see if any companies you own have announced new dividends. MarketBeat's dividend announcements list is available at marketbeat.com/dividends/latest. Ex-dividend calendar. Use this calendar to view a list of stocks that are going ex-dividend over the next several days. This is particularly helpful if you're looking at stocks to buy and want to get your first dividend payment soon after you make your purchase. You can access MarketBeat's ex-dividend calendar at marketbeat.com/dividends/EX/latest. High yield stocks. You can view a list of companies that offer particularly high yields using this report. While high yields may seem enticing, make sure to confirm a company's ability to pay its dividend by looking at its payout ratio and earnings growth before making a purchase. You can access MarketBeat's high yield stocks list at marketbeat.com/dividends/high-yield. Dividend Achievers and Dividend Aristocrats. We provide an up-to-date list of Dividend Achievers and Dividend Aristocrats on the MarketBeat website. You can access the Dividend Aristocrats list at marketbeat.com/dividends/aristocrats and the Dividend Achievers list at marketbeat.com/dividends/achievers. Company Profiles. One of the features that we are proudest of on the MarketBeat website is our company profiles. For any publicly traded company, you can look up a full history of that company's analyst recommendations, earning announcements, dividend announcements, insider trades, and headlines. You can also view a stream of recent news about a company and view recent social media mentions for a company on StockTwits. Our company profile pages include a full description of each company's business model, a number of important financial metrics, and an advanced charting tool. You can look up any publicly traded company's profile page at marketbeat.com/stocks. MarketBeat Daily Premium. This is the only resource included in this list that isn't free. MarketBeat Daily Premium is our premium email newsletter that allows you to create a watch list of stocks that you follow and receive a full summary of every important news item that you would want to know about your companies a full 30 minutes before the market opens. You'll also receive a full rundown of each day's analyst ratings, dividend announcements, earning announcements, and insider trades. You can also opt to receive instant email or SMS alerts so that we can notify you whenever one of your companies announces a new dividend or is the subject of an important news story. MarketBeat Daily Premium is normally available for $15.97 per month, but readers of this book can subscribe for just $9.97.